morning, guys. I think one thing I really enjoy about the Bible is that there's lots of pictures. And the picture that I've been drawn to this last week or so, just in preparing for today, is the picture of light. And that God wants us to live in His light, and He wants us to reflect His light into the world. And I'm just going to start off with a word from Proverbs 4:18. It says, "The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn." But it doesn't stop there. It shines ever brighter until the full light of day. So the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. I'm just going to ask Simon just to show a little video clip that sort of starts to reflect it, and I'm going to speak through some of that imagery and link it back to the way God wants us to live. Shadows. Simon, you guys watch the shadows. They were moving, weren't they? They were retreating. So I want to just focus on that, and just the imagery of a day just was quite revealing for me. And a guy, Thomas Adams, a clergyman from the 15th and 16th century, kind of put this verse in a slightly different way. And he said, "Grace comes into the soul as the morning sun into the world. First a dawning, then a light, and at last the sun in its full and excellent brightness." It talks about a transformation from darkness through to lightness. So as Christ's light dawns and shines in our lives, there's got to be change, doesn't there? If we think about that imagery from darkness through to light. The darkness has got to go. The shadows, they must shorten. Until our whole lives are lit up by His presence. Would you agree with me, guys? There needs to be that change in us, in each of us. So just looking at that imagery of a day, a new day starts like the beauty of light shining into the dark world at the start of a new day. Something amazing, it's fresh, it's interesting. And when we first saved, our hearts were exposed to God's light for the first time and are filled with that fresh and new hope. It's like a sunrise. It brings this freshness to your daughter. I mean, she's got this, God's light is just shining into her heart. It's new. It's amazing. It's filling her. Then as we move into the morning, and I think a lot of us, as you move along, things change. But what God wants us to see is not sticking. He doesn't want us to stay and just admire the sunrise. He wants us to take us from there into the middle of a day. So as we move into morning, the sun rises, and the land is exposed to the warmth of the sun. But I think a key thing I want to focus on is the shadows. The shadows shorten as the sun comes up. So the Holy Spirit would want to draw us away from the darkness, to see the shadows of sin retreating from our lives. He wants to transform us, more and more fully engaged with His light. At midday, the shadows are shortest and the world is most exposed to the light, right? Hard to see shadows except if you're right under a tree, I guess. But in terms of what God's wanting to do to us, He's wanting nothing to be hidden. Everything to be in plain sight. So in the middle of the day, it's easiest to see everything. There's not really shadows to hide in. If it's out, it's clear. You can see it. And I really believe that that's where God's calling us to as a church. A place where God's light fully engulfs us and everything is exposed to His light. We're really called to live in the full light of Christ. And I think that's individual. It's not just our church. It's individually. God's wanting us to take us to a place where we're fully captured by His light. There should be fewer and fewer shadows that we can see, that others can see in us. So what does it mean to live in the light? Or what is it that we call to? And really where I want to read from today is Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 18. So if anyone's got your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to be going through some of those verses. And let's start off with verse 1 and 2. It reads, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." So God's word is quite clear. We call to imitate God. That's a pretty high calling, but that's what we call to. And what struck out for me is you can't imitate someone unless you know them quite intimately. If you think of those comedians that really get it right, or kind of they draw a little cartoon and try and capture Zuma in an interesting moment, there's something about them that understand the person. You've got to understand them in a particular way to be able to imitate. I think God wants us to really understand Christ so that we can imitate Him in a way that's authentic. So we need to focus our eyes on our holy God and seek to really understand who He is. We're then called to live a life of love towards others. That's the second part of that verse. It says, "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." And I think that this message of us needing to love each other has been something that's come through a few times in the last few weeks. And in Romans 12, 9 to 12, Paul writes, "Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other." And in our group, I meet with Tony and a few other guys week by week. And this is something that we started talking about last week. And it was like, we met this week and we started looking at this again and said, you know, how have we gone? How have we done, guys? Have we managed to not just pretend to love others? Are we really loving others? And we talked a little bit, and some of us have done a bit better than others, but we said, you know, can we move on to the next verse? And they were like, no ways. Now, this is a serious calling. Loving each other with genuine affection, delighting and honoring each other. It's like a lifelong journey, isn't it? I mean, I think we know it a bit in our marriages. We've got to learn this thing. And it's really a calling for us. We need to do that as a church as well. So if we're going to shine for God, we need to show practical and sincere love for others, right? I think, you know, Jesus says we need to love one another. And that's how people are going to know who we are, that we're different. It's the love that we show for one another. So moving on in Ephesians, Paul then speaks about a whole lot of things that need to change. Shadows that need to be exposed to the light and be replaced by holy living. So reading from Ephesians 5, 3 to 7, he speaks to a whole lot of things. So the first one, "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place amongst God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. Don't participate in these things that people do." And I think it's quite easy sometimes to focus on the positive side, that God's calling us to wonderful things, but part of that calling and part of moving forward in Christ is dealing with these shadows in our lives. And there's got to be transformation. So I think have a look at these things. I don't don't know if anything might have struck home, and there's so much that we call to change, that God wants to change in our lives. And let's not live like Hollywood expects us to live. I mean, if you look at the image out there, what our culture dictates is actually just worlds apart. And you know, our kids are watching us, those of us that are young, grandparents as well, they're watching what our culture is, how we're displaying our culture, our values to our world. And it can't be these things. It can't be these things. And you know, maybe it's not these things that are shadows in your lives. But I think we've all got things. None of us are fully exposed to God's light. None of us are perfect. But I think what God's calling us to is those shadows shortening. We've got to be more fully in His light. And it means working through these tough things. These things that that Satan would call us to and want to draw us into. Moving on to verse 8, the last one there. It says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." So we really need to flee from darkness and let God's light shine into the very corners of our lives. It means moving beyond lukewarm living to living lives that are truly different to the common culture in which we live. We call to live our lives set apart and really wide open to Jesus. You agree with me, church? Paul says it this way to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 2:15. He says, "Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights into a world full of crooked and perverse people." So living clean and innocent lives is key to shining like bright lights, right? The less shadows, the brighter the light that we're able to emanate to others as well. So we're called to deal with the darkness of sin in our lives. But there's more that we're called to do as well if we keep reading through Ephesians. So let's go to Ephesians 10. I'm just going to run just with some of my thoughts to each of these verses. The first one in verse 10 says, "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord." I mean, I think in this time of transition for us as a church, it's a key question. What is it, Lord, that pleases you? And I think, you know, just in chatting with some of the interim leaders, I've been a bit kind of thinking, you know, do we need to come up with a vision for our church? What is it that we need to do? Because you don't want people to not know where they're going because of a lack of vision. But actually, there's a lot that God's already shown us. You know, even just this thing of God wanting to transform us, His general vision and His will for us. That's enough to keep us going for the rest of our lives. Yes, we want to see in time Him saying, "This is what I want this church to do for this community." But in the meantime, He's wanting to change us. And there's a lot in us that He can change as well. And that's part of His vision for us. But I guess the question here is do you know what pleases the Lord? And are you seeking a specific will for your life? And I'm trusting we're all doing that. Verse 11 then says, "Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." And that's a step further, guys, isn't it? I mean, the verses we read a little bit earlier was really just flee from these things. There's a whole lot of things in the world that we shouldn't be doing. But this verse moved beyond that. It said, instead expose them. And exposing means really revealing things. It's not just letting things stay in the dark. So we're called to expose the darkness. And I really believe, you know, in my own life, confession and accountability has been central just to starting to change some of the things that I've been battling with. And I want to challenge all of you guys. Are you exposing the darkness in your life to Christ? And I think what's central to that is really about being open to others. This thing of accountability. This thing of confession. And I think, you know, when I started, I meet with Grant Atkins. He's my sort of accountability partner. And when you start entering into a relationship like that and start kind of bearing your soul and like, I messed up like this week. I messed up like that. It's quite tough. But if we're going to change, we've got to expose those things, right? We've got to be willing to take that step of exposing ourselves. And I challenge all of you, if there's something in your life that you're battling with, and I bet it's all of us, we're all people, we're all humans, expose that. Take the step of exposing it. So don't just keep it hidden. I'm a long way of being perfect. There's lots of things I need to work on in my life, but it's been so useful. Just chatting with guys and saying, with Grant especially, I've been saying, Grant, I'm really battling here. Won't you pray with me? Won't you help me walk through this? And it's been great. He shares his heart with me, his journey. I share my heart with him. And we're moving forward. It's one area of our lives that we're specifically accountable for. But all of us have got areas, guys. So I encourage you to expose the dark. Then I want to move on to verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And living like those who are wise requires us to seek something. It requires us to really seek God's wisdom and his understanding for us. And luckily, there's a lot God's given us that it really shows us what that wisdom and what that understanding is. And it's really God's word, isn't it? I mean, if we're spending time in God's word, we can't fail to see something new for God to show us in some way how we need to live. Psalm 119 verse 105 said, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So this image of light, what it's saying is that God's word is critical to that light. So you're not going to expose the light just by chatting with friends. It's God's Holy Spirit's going to take the word of God and point out things in our lives. So let's not forget his word. If we're wanting light, let's turn to God's word for that. And then again in 2 Peter 1:19, Paul said, "The words of the prophets is made more certain." We have that word. You must pay attention to it. It is like a light shining in a dark place. It will shine until the day Jesus comes. Then the morning star will rise in your hearts. Okay, so we've got the light, guys. It's God's word gives us that light if we're spending time in it. Then on to verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And let's just continue to speaking of the need for us to understand God's will and to really walk in that. And I think it applies to us as individuals, it applies to our families, it applies to our church. So let's keep drawing near to God. Let's keep trusting him to lead us through this time of pruning in our church. We're not alone. God really does have a plan for us. And then verse 18, it says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, to me, it's just, without God's Holy Spirit, doing all these things is like, it's going to be impossible. And, so I think let's lean into the Holy Spirit. Let's ask him to fill us. Let's ask him to lead us, to guide us, and to take us to that place where we're really filled with his light. So, I mean, even reading God's word, ask him to reveal what it is that he wants to say to you. And I'm really trusting that, you know, as I'm speaking here today, that God will take something of this and move your heart. Because this is what God showed me to share with you today. So God wants us as individuals and as this church to be transformed, right? But the question is, to what end? For what purpose? Is it just for us? I think we know it's not, is it? He wants to use us to make a difference in our community. For people that we know, our connections, to turn to Christ. That's the whole purpose of this thing. God wants to see more and more people turn to him and relate with him along that timeline, grabbing onto that line like Tony spoke about. And Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine in front of others, that they will see your the good things that you do, and they will praise your Father who's in heaven. So that light from us lands up being the way we live. Right? So God's word gives us the light. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. And then we're a light as we walk, as we live in ways that are different to the society around us. And just in preparing for this message, I was reading a devotional by Andy Stanley. And he just put it in a way that was quite useful for me with the family. And what he writes is, he says, when you pray for your family, don't limit your request to, Lord, protect me, or Lord, bless me. Pray that God would establish your family as a light in your community. Are we doing that? I've got to say, I tend to get so focused on, please help us through this day and help us with Jack or this, or you know, one of the boys with that, or help me with my work. This is going beyond that. Pray that God would establish your family as a light in your community. Ask him to use your family relationships to attract others' attention to him. Ask him to allow others to detect a divine element in your family's life and lifestyle. When you pray for financial and business success, ask God to grant it in such a way that those outside the faith sit up and take notice. Pray that the people around you would realize that your success was accomplished with the help of God. And isn't that what we want? We want people to look at us and say, wow, God's done something. God's done something. So, in finishing up, I know it's a short sermon, as you guys have become accustomed from my side. We have to be the light to the world. To be a beacon in this dark night. But if we're going to do that, let's expose ourselves to the light of God's word. Let's allow God to shape and transform us by the power of his Spirit into a people of Crossways Church who really shine for Jesus in our community. I'd just like to end with a song quickly, and let us just, I think if you can just close our eyes maybe and just reflect and, yeah, just reflect on the word I've shared.
Let them see love of Christ. wanted to share before we end, and I'm just thinking about Emily, who committed her life to the Lord, and just about your word and just sharing about the light of the Lord, and that ultimately that's what it's about. It's about Jesus, and it's about Him filling the void in our lives. And apart from Him, we can do nothing, and we are actually absolutely nothing. I am nothing. I can do nothing without the Lord in my life. And He's opened up so many doors. Everything that I have is because of the Lord. And when I shared about Emily, and I went back to sit down, and I just thought, and listening to your word, I just thought that that's our prayer, probably all of your prayers as well, is for your kids to be saved and to serve the Lord, and for them to get to know Jesus. And I just praise the Lord that we can celebrate with Emily, but we want to celebrate with each one of your kids too. You know, and I'm sure if you've been perhaps a son and a daughter of folks who have prayed for you, and you the fruit of that. And so I just feel just prompted that we pray for our kids, and that the light will come, and that they will get to know God and serve Him, and that they will shine in the crowd and stand out from the crowd because of Jesus, not because of anyone else. And perhaps even if you have not yet made that decision to serve Jesus, to really just commit and surrender it all, the world has nothing to offer. I think I know that, that actually there's nothing that the world has to offer for me. Jesus doesn't compare to that. What He's given to me, the peace of Christ that just surpasses all understanding, that He's given me the day I got saved. Hallelujah. I can really just stand and be unashamed of that. And if you need the peace of God in your life, commit your life to Jesus. I just want to encourage you to do that. And join with me as we just pray for our kids. And if you feel you want to give your life to the Lord, come up and I'm here. I'll pray with you. I'll say a prayer with you. It's just a simple prayer of asking Jesus Christ into your heart. And He takes you. And you know what? Reading John chapter 15, that in actual fact, He's already calling you, and He saves. We don't save. We unable to do any of those kind of things. He does the work. He's called me. He's called you. And He does the saving. And He does the changing. I just want to give God all the glory. So let's close our eyes and let's just pray for our kids. And let's stand in the gap for our kids, that they get to know Jesus. Father, I just thank You and praise You and bless You. And yeah, we just know that this is all about You and for You, Father. And that our eyes are set on You, Lord. And Father, I thank You for salvation. And I pray, Father, for our kids here. And we just stand in the gap for our children. No matter how small and how young they are and how old they are. And Father, if they don't know You, we just lift them before You, Father God. And we ask that they'll get to know You. We ask that they will surrender and commit their lives to You. We ask that they will confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we ask for Your mercy and Your grace. We pray, Father, for the same joy and the same joy of salvation that we have experienced, that they will experience, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank You for Your promise that says that me and my household, You and Your household will be saved. And we stand on that promise and we claim those promises for our families, Father. And we commit our children into Your hands, that they will be the light, that they will stand out from the crowd because of Jesus. And so we just commit them to You, Father. In Jesus' name, that You, Father, it's all about You. We can do nothing without You. Apart from You, we are nothing. And so we just thank You and we bless You and give You all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome, folks. That brings us to the end of our service. Thank you, Doug, for bringing that word. And thanks for everyone for participating. It was a lovely service. So bless you as you go. That was a beautiful prayer. Thanks as well. So we'll make that the end of the service. Bless you as you go, and we'll see you next week.